All right. Well, this is an auspicious day, is it not? Just rather unusual. Just had a different feel about it since we walked into the auditorium today. And so I want to welcome you to that. As I said earlier, I want to bring up now the chairman of our transition team here at Crooked Creek and let him introduce the speaker. I thought that might be a good opportunity for him to say what he needs to say now. So, Brother Charles, if you will, please, sir.
All right. Well, as most of you know, the transition team is recommending Brother Bill Carpenter to serve as interim pastor when Brother Tom retires. And that's getting close, Brother Tom, just over a month away. Brother Bill has had an interesting career, and he was once a recording artist, I understand. I'd like to hear some more about that. He also was a commissioned officer in the U.S. Army. He's owned his own business, and for many years he served on the board of directors for Jackson EMC. 50 years ago, in 1965, Brother Carpenter came to Crooked Creek and served here as pastor for over 16 years. During that time, this building was built, the church grew, and many souls came to know the Lord during that time. Since then, he's pastored four other churches. And Brother Bill, we'd like to welcome you back to Crooked Creek and ask you to come and preach what the Lord's laid on your heart.
Amen. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord tonight, this morning, and so good to be with you today. I prayed for this church, Martha and I prayed for this church. Martha, if you would stand, this is my wife, my one and only wife. She's my favorite wife, okay? And my favorite mother-in-law, Martha's mother, is here. She's 91 years of age, and we're so glad that she was able to be with us today. All the things that were said about my tenure here, 16 and a half years, and I want to say this, that God did everything. You look at all the things, and I just stand and wonder in awe as I look at the re-look at all the buildings and all the things that God has done, and all the memories fly through my head. And I walked through the hall downstairs, and I just thought, oh dear Lord, how wonderful that you have done. It's not what I have done, anything that I've done, but it's all of what he has done. I asked the Lord this morning to give me kind of a little nudge about the sermon this morning. I said, Lord, I want you to speak in the music today. And it's amazing because I'm going to be preaching about the cross. There was a song about the cross, about the blood. I'm going to be preaching about the resurrection of Christ. And there was a song about the resurrection of Christ and preaching about the glory, glorification, when the Lord comes in his glory, the resurrection and the rapture and all that. And there's a song about that today. And I just say, thank you, Lord. The music is so wonderful today. I thought for a moment that I was in heaven. I really did. It's a wonderful, wonderful music. And I hope you realize the great things God has done here. Preaching today about the three faces of the shepherd. Three faces of the shepherd. Turn your Bibles, and I ask a little difficult thing today. Three passages, John chapter 10 and verse 11. After you found that, if you turn to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20, and after you have found that, turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. John chapter 10 and verse 11. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. And 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. John chapter 10 and verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Three faces of the shepherd. We're going to see, first of all, the good shepherd in John chapter 10 and verse 11. Then turn, please, to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd, of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Secondly, notice he is the great shepherd who was not only died upon the cross, but he was raised from the grave, the resurrection. We find that here in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. Then turn, please, to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, he is the chief shepherd who is coming again. And what glory and wonderful that is. He's a good shepherd. He's a great shepherd. And he is a chief shepherd. Father, we ask you to move powerfully and mightily in the service today. We give you all the praise and all the glory for all that you've done here at Crooked Creek. To God be the glory, great things he hath done, what you have done. And Lord, we ask you to move today as we think about the shepherd, about Jesus. We pray that you might open our minds and open our hearts as we see these three different faces of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We give you praise, we give you glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. There are many titles to the Savior, more than 300 titles to our Lord Jesus Christ. He's a wonderful encounter with the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Oh, yes, so many wonderful, 300 of the different titles that we find of him in the Word of God. But none quite like the title of the shepherd. Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. What a marvelous, and we see the 23rd Psalm, how that we shall not want. He makes us to lie down in green pastures and all of those. He's a shepherd. We think about the shepherd, and I want you to, just in your mind's eye to picture the Lord Jesus as a shepherd. And also the shepherd, but the sheep. Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him, that is Jesus, the iniquity of us all. We're sheep. Notice he did not call us lions or tigers or elephants, but he called us sheep. And the sheep are the dumbest animals that have ever been. All we like dumb animals have gone astray, sheep. And the truth is that the sheep cannot live without the shepherd. The sheep cannot live without the shepherd. And if you're saved, you cannot live without the Lord Jesus Christ, who is your Savior and who is your Lord. So we see those three adjectives, these three superlatives of our Savior. He's a good shepherd, he's a great shepherd, and he's a chief shepherd who's going to come again. But let's look first of all at the good shepherd who redeemed us, and he came to save us from the penalty of sin. The Bible says the wages of sin, the payday of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. But aren't you glad for that? Next word. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so he's a good shepherd who came to save us. He came to save us, to redeem us, to purchase us out of the slave market of sin and redeem us, to pay the price, to pay the penalty, to take our place, to take our death, to take our hell, to take our separation from him, to redeem us out of the slave market of sin. I want you to go with me now for a moment. And let's go back in time. Can you do that? 2,000 years. We talked about 50 years, and I just want to clarify something. I was just a young kid. They called me Little Billy, the preacher boy, when I came here. I can never forget that day, what a wonderful day it was. But I just want to clarify that I'm not a fossil. I just lived a long time, okay? Well, can you go with me now back 2,000 years? Let's go to a place called Jerusalem. I've been there a couple of times. Let's go outside the city, okay? Let's go to a hill called Calvary. Golgotha, the place of the skull. And I want you to go with me just a moment to that hill. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of our suffering and shame. Will you go with me? It's Passover. It's Passover Day. And people from all over the world, the known world at that time, were in Jerusalem. And something had happened, and Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus, who's the Son of God, who said, I am God. I am God. And we see him there on the cross. Three crosses, two thieves, and Jesus in the midst. I want you to listen. I want us to listen for a moment. As we hear those redeeming cries from the cross of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. First cry, he cries out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When he said, Father, forgive them, do you know who he's talking about? Oh, yes, the Jews, and yes, the Romans, and all the people there. But when he said them, he was talking about me. And he was talking about you. He said, Father, forgive Bill, for he knows not what he does. And we were there, and Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That first cry. Will you come a little closer so you can hear better? And the second cry from the cross, one of the thieves on one side looked over at Jesus and said, I've heard what you said about that forgiveness. And do you think I'm just adding a few words? You think you could forgive me? I'm a thief. I've been a bad man. And Lord, that's Romans 10:9. Confess him with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart. And that's Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus didn't say it's too late. He did not say I don't believe in deathbed repentances. He said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. What a marvelous moment. And there, one of the thieves railed upon him and said, you saved others, save yourself and save me, save us. Save us. There he was, dying for our sins and taking our place. And yet, in that moment, we're reaching over to save a thief who deserved to be lost and who deserved to go to hell. That third cry from the cross, now it's about, let's say it's about 11 o'clock. Started at 9 o'clock, and now it's 11 o'clock, and he looked at his mother and he said, woman, behold your son. And in that moment as he was dying, he thought about his mother. How often in death people think about their mother and they speak to their mother in their dying moments. You know, there are two errors about Mary. Those who make too little of her, and those who make too much of her. They're those who say that she's the Immaculate Conception. You say, what about that? That's baloney. That's religious baloney. She's a sinner like us, and she needed Jesus. She needed her son. She needed to be saved. And there are those who say she ascended into heaven bodily. That's more baloney. Phony baloney, yes. And then it's 12 o'clock. Can you come a little closer now, because something happened that's never happened before. The sun refused to shine. The stars and the moon, the planets refused to shine. And Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I'll tell you why he was forsaken. He's forsaken because your sins and my sins came upon him. Not just your sins and my sins, but the sins of the whole world. The sins of all times, of all men, yes. The death of Christ was sufficient to save all men. All men. He wants all men to be saved. He wants everyone to be saved. But that does not mean that all men will be saved, for whosoever will, let him come. And there are two kinds of people. The whosoever wills and the whosoever wants. I hope you are a whosoever will person. And he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's dark now. It's dark. Then another cry from the cross. C.S. Schofield, who I started out with an old Schofield Bible, and I bought me a new one the other recently. And Schofield said, in the Old Testament, the sheep died for the shepherd. In the New Testament, the shepherd died for the sheep. Isn't that marvelous? He died, the shepherd died for us. He took our place. He cried out. Now it's getting weaker. Can you come a little closer now so you can hear what he says? He said, I thirst. I thirst. That's the cry of hell. Remember Luke 16? You say, oh, Brother Bill, the parable. No, not the parable. It was not a parable. It's an actual story of an actual man, two actual men who actually lived. Yes. It really happened. And he died, and you know the story. And Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water. He did not say, I want a gallon of water, or a glass of water, or a cup of water, or a spoonful of water. He said, just dip your finger, dip his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. That's a cry of hell. That's a cry if we could only hear, lift the lid off of hell and open the doors of hell today. We'd hear those cries. But let me back up and say, you say, is there fire in heaven? Jesus said there was. You say, Jesus was the most terrible, awful, hellfire damnation preacher who's ever been. He preached more about hell than he did about heaven. You say, why did he? Because he knows it's a real place. But the most awful thing of hell, let me back up. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? It is a fire, but it is a fact that lost people are forsaken of God. Forsaken of God. Eternally. People say, God, leave me alone. And that's exactly what he does. He left them alone. My friend, let me warn you, you don't want God to leave you alone. You don't want him to leave you alone. Now, he cries out, it's finished. Tell you, it is finished. It is done. All our salvation from the foundation of the world. God saw us from the foundation of the world. The Word of God says he's a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So salvation is not a new thing at all. It's an old thing. And starting in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, the seed of the woman. Every prophecy for 4,000 years was fulfilled. It is finished. Since Adam, all the prophecies of all the prophets, salvation is completed. It is finished. And as we say now, it's a done deal. It's done. It is finished. There's nothing that can be added to it. There's nothing that can be taken from it. It's finished. There's nothing you can add to it. There's nothing that you can subtract from it. It is finished. And then, his last words. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. How marvelous and glorious is redeeming grace to purchase us out of the slave market of sin. Paul Harvey was a wonderful storyteller. I wish I could tell stories like him. He told a story about S.D. Gordon, who was a preacher in Massachusetts, a great preacher from the past. And he came to the pulpit one day. He had in his hand, I want to do this someday, a birdcage in his hand. He had a birdcage in his hand, an old beat-up birdcage. And he told a story about a boy with his birdcage. A little mean boy, a little boy about 10 years of age. Bad boy, and he had in that birdcage full of little birds. Not expensive birds that you buy at the pet store, but birds that are castaway birds, just sorry old birds, just old birds. You know what I'm talking about. And he was tormenting those birds. He was giving those birds a hard time. This guy saw him and he said, young man, what you going to do with those birds? He said, I'm going to play with them. I'm going to torment them and give them a hard time. And then when I get through with them, I'm going to take them out to my cat and I'm going to let my cat eat the birds. He said, the man said, how much do you want for those birds in that bird cage? He said, well, I never thought about selling that. Nobody wanted, anybody want to buy a bunch of those sorry birds that I have in here? The guy said, I'll give you $2 for the bird and for the cage. And so he did. The little boy took his $2 and made his way to the store. You know where he was going, don't you? If it's today, he's going to go to McDonald's and get him a Happy Meal. So, and you know what that man did? He opened the door of that bird cage and let those birds go free. That's redemption. That's what Jesus has done for us. He had us in his bird cage, in his prison house. And he came and he lived a perfect sinless life. He did something that no one else has ever done. And he died on the cross for us. If you'd been the only person who'd ever lived, Jesus would have died for you. He surely would. And Jesus came to set us free. You know that old gospel song? He set me free. I'm working on a sermon, that title, He Set Me Free. That's what salvation is all about. We were in his prison house. And Satan had us locked up. And God sent his holy. You remember when Paul and Silas were in the jail? And God sent a terrible shaking of the ground. And God has set us free. He's a good shepherd who came to redeem us. Secondly, not only is he the good shepherd, but he's a great shepherd, the great shepherd. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. He came to save us, not only from the penalty of sin, but he came to save us from the power of sin. Salvation is not just being saved from the penalty of sin. It is not just being saved from hell to heaven. If that's all there were to it, it would be worth it. It'd be wonderful. It would be glorious. But there's more to salvation than just being saved from the penalty of sin. He came to save us from the power of sin. And so Romans chapter 6 and verse 1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us, as we're baptized in Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death. Therefore we were buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead. We shall be saved by his power. And so he came to save us from the power of sin. We don't hear enough about that. We call that sanctification. We call redemption glorification. Being saved from the power of sin. That is being set apart to God, to Christ, from the world, the flesh, and the devil. We don't hear enough about being saved from the power of sin. There are things that all of us need to be saved from. Amen. Amen. You know about DNA? You remember the Simpson trial, they laughed at DNA. They said it didn't exist. Remember that? We know now. The things that are in your DNA and in my DNA, heredity is scary. Amen? There's some good stuff. Amen? And there's some bad stuff. Amen? And I physically got all the bad stuff from my parents. I got it. I have every bit of it. And the good stuff, I got some of that. You mentioned about music and my dad's family, music's all in it. And you can't teach somebody to sing a part. I've never taught anybody to sing a part. You can't either. You either have it or you don't have it. You can't teach someone to play like the lady played this morning. A teacher can't teach anybody to play like that. You've got to have it in you, first of all. Amen. And so there's some things in us. And he came to save us. You say, I don't have any faults. Well, you do have one. Let me tell you what it is. It's lying, okay? Okay? All right. Got that clear. He came to save us from the power of death. Death's on all the trail of all of us. It's not that we're going to die. It is that we're already dying. Amen? Have you looked in the mirror lately? I invite you to. Have you looked at some old photographs lately? I invite you to do that. And what you say, what's wrong with me? You're dying. Death's already working. And if Christ's church is coming, every one of us are going to die. We're going to breathe our last breath. Our hearts are going to thump its last thump. And they're going to say, he's gone, she's gone. And there are graves of all sorts of sizes in the cemetery. You say, oh, you old gray-headed man. Yeah, you've got one foot in the grave and the other on a banana peeling. Well, but I may outlive you. Amen? Don't you feel great and superior because you're young or a teenager or a young person? People of all ages die. If you don't believe it, look in the obituary column. He came to save us from death. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? He came to save us from the grave. I know some of you have a cemetery plot. Let me just conduct a survey this morning. How many of you have a cemetery plot somewhere? Raise your hand. Oh, you folks, the rest of you are not going to die, are you? Let me tell you something. Well, you better get you one, but let me tell you something. Why? Because when you die, that's going to be the most expensive lot you've ever left, okay? You're going to need to start buying one while you're alive, okay? And you find your place, okay? You find your place. Don't make your family go out on the worst day of their life looking for a place to bury you, okay? Be thoughtful of them. There's a grave out there. Martha and I have a cemetery plot. My mother-in-law has a cemetery plot. Martha's dad has been gone for a great number of years. And we have a plot right next to them. My mother-in-law said to Bill, I hope you get a place close to me. Because I really love you. Said, you're the best son-in-law I've ever had. The reason is I'm the only one she does have. That's why I'm her best son-in-law. Oh, death, where's thy sting? And so, Christ arose from the grave. And when we go to the empty tomb, we see how that he broke the power of death. And how that he broke the power of the grave. The only thing that death can do to me is to send me to the presence of God. And that's not really bad, is it? To be absent from the body for the child of God is to be present with the Lord. He came to save us from the power of Satan. They overcame him, that is Satan, Revelation 12:11, through the blood of the Lamb. They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb. And so God has given us power over him. Satan is a defeated foe. He is a captain of a sinking ship. His days are numbered. Can I get a witness? Amen. Anybody going to be glad? I'll tell you, when they throw him in, I want to be there. Praise God and clapping and shouting and all of that because he's giving me a hard time. How about you? And so he is a defeated foe. By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they were faithful to the Lord unto death. And his resurrection gives us power not only over death and the grave, and Satan, the world, the flesh, and the devil, but over sin. Now, we can know the power that we have by the grace of God. We say, well, I just can't help myself. Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Are you saved? You can. Christ arose from the grave, gave you power over your besetting sins. Every one of us have besetting sins. We call them all sorts of things, weaknesses. But God calls them sin. Sin. And maybe it's bad language, and Christ came to give you power over bad language. He came to give you power over lust. He came to give you power over pornography. Boy, what a problem that is. Amen? Yeah. I have in my notebook here a guy who's a TV reality star. Josh, remember him? Let me find it here. It's so important I can't even think of his name. You know the guy that has 19 kids, you know? Billy Bob or Bobby, somebody. Help me. Okay, you know? Now he's not only the problems he had before, he has come out and admit that he has problem with pornography and cheating on his wife. You say, well, I just can't help myself. Christ came that we might have power over sin. I want to read those verses again. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Does it mean that we are sinless? No! There's only one sinless person. Only one. We should not serve sin. It has been, it says, destroyed. It means rendered ineffective. Ineffective. The power been broken. And you're no longer in prison. You're no longer in jail. You're no longer a slave. If you're saved, you are a son. Beloved, beloved, now we the sons of God. It doth not appear what we shall be, but we know when He shall appear. We shall be like Him. So we know this, we reckon on it, we count it. Likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead unto sin, but life unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We yield ourselves unto God, Romans chapter 6 and verse 13. I do not have time, but just simply to say, some of you have been to Charleston, South Carolina, and you've been to the old slave market where human beings were sold, bought and sold. And I've heard cases of people who've gone to the slave market and who have bought a slave and then who set the slave free. Christ came to save us from the power of sin. The things in our life that will ruin our lives unless we let God give us power over them. Things that will ruin our marriage unless we let God give us power over them. Sins that will ruin our testimony unless we let God have His power in our life. And yes, may even ruin our careers. Thirdly, not only is He the Good Shepherd who died on the cross to redeem us, to save us from the penalty of sin, and the Great Shepherd who came to save us from the power of sin, to sanctify us and set Himself apart unto us. That does not mean sinless perfection. I want to say it again and again and again and again. I remember going to a radio station one day and a guy was preaching. And he was one of those guys that didn't believe he'd sin. So I asked him, I was really mean about it. I confess. After the service, I waited for him. And I said, is it true that you haven't sinned in a long time? That you don't sin? Well, I knew he did because I could talk to his wife and she would tell me. His wife knew that he had sinned. So there's no such thing as sinless perfection, only one sinless person. But God can give us power over those things in our life. Thirdly, He is the chief shepherd, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, we shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. We're talking about glorification. Now make it clear, those who are saved and those who died in Christ, you know where they are right now? They're with the Lord. And it is far better. Far better. But their bodies are sleeping. People talk about, there's no such thing as soul sleeping, folks. Get rid of it. There's no such thing. The body sleeps, okay? And that's what the word cemetery means. It's a resting place for the body. And only bodies of those who are saved sleep, okay? Okay. There's resurrection. Thank God. I've been so many times to the cemetery. The hardest thing, next to preaching, doing weddings, is funerals, okay? Sometimes I get them mixed up. If you know what I mean. I thought I was going to a wedding, but I found out that I went to a funeral. You'll get that in a moment. Been to the cemetery. I've been there with Mom and Dad. And I think, praise God, I watched them put the dirt on. I said to myself, one day Jesus is coming, and you're coming out of that place. A glorious, glorified body like Jesus. We shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. All my families died. I don't know about yours, but, you know, they died. And if Christ Harris is coming, they will say one day Bill Carpenter's died, okay? But don't believe that, okay? Because I'll be with the Lord. And God's not through with the body, okay? He's not through with the body. And so there's going to be a resurrection for those who are saved, the resurrection of the just. Oh, I know there's another resurrection. But there's not a general resurrection. There's not a general judgment, and there's not a general resurrection, okay? Resurrection. And there's going to be rapture. Those of us who are alive, who remain when the Lord comes, I'm taking Jericho and Hadacol and everything I can think of. Try to keep myself alive, okay? You won't believe the extent that I go to try. I want to be living when Jesus comes. And He may come today, the rapture. It'll be a surprise. No one knows when Jesus is coming. Somebody asked me yesterday, or last week, if I'd what I knew about blood moons, and I said, I don't know anything. I don't shock anybody, okay? But I said, but I went on to say, it's not in the Bible. And I don't preach about things unless they're in the Bible, okay? They said, oh, but so-and-so preaches about them. I said, let him preach about them. I said, okay, if he wants to. That's his business. But I don't preach about things that are not in the Word of God. If you go get your Strong's Concordance or your Young's Concordance or all the concordances that you have and see if you can find the blood and moon, okay? By the time, I hope you haven't preached on this. Thank you, brother. Okay. I knew you hadn't, okay? I just want to get in a lick here, okay? The folks preaching my stuff, there's enough in these 66 books to keep you busy. Amen. All your life. And I'm frustrated that I know so little, and I've had the opportunity to speak so little about all that's in the Word of God. And I think, why haven't I preached that? He's coming again. It's going to be sudden. We don't know when it is. We're in the last days. We've been in the last days for 2,000 years. Amen? The last days, 2,000 years, it'll be sudden. And so there's going to be resurrection. Those who've died in Christ, they're going to be raised first. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, those who are saved are going to be changed and caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Have our new bodies. What a glorious reunion that's going to be. It's glorious, folks. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And really, let me paraphrase that. They live happily ever after. Isn't that glorious? Don't you like that? I do. There's the judgment seat of Christ. And you say, there's Romans 8:1 says there's no condemnation, no judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus. And this is the judgment seat of Christ, a matter of rewards, the judgment seat of Christ. And it's going to be a time of reward for those who've been faithful. Our works are going to be tried. Why we did what we did, all of that, our motives and our methods and our manner and all of that, and they're going to be tried by fire. And only the gold and silver and precious stones are going to remain. All that stuff is done in the flesh is going to be gone. All that stuff is done for the wrong reasons is going to be gone. All that stuff that wasn't according to the Word of God is going to be gone. But there's nothing that's going to be lost. And so He's going to reward those A crown of glory, talks about that. A crown of glory that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven. You say, Brother Bill, and I close. What are we going to do with our crowns? You hear this song, I'm going to walk all around heaven with my crown and my robe. That's baloney too. You know what we're going to do with our crowns if you have a crown? We're going to lay at the feet of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? You going to have any crowns to lay at His feet? I hope you do. And so there He is. He's a good shepherd who died for us to redeem us and justify us and declare us right with Him. He's a great shepherd who was raised from the dead to save us from the power of sin, to save us from ourselves, to save us from our DNA, to save us from our environment, to save us from all the things that people have done to us. People can't do anything to you unless you let them. Amen? And He came to save us from that. Maybe there's somebody here who's got a bad temper. I didn't touch that. I can't help myself, you say. Yes, you can. Christ was raised from the dead to save you from your bad temper and your temper tantrums, okay? And your anger, He came to save you from that. And He's the chief shepherd who's coming again. Our loved ones who've died in Christ are not lost. They're not gone. They're with the Lord. And one day we're going to see them in their new bodies. And there'll be generations of Christians who will not die. She'll bow our heads, every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment. Musicians come forward. Brother Tom is coming forward. Stand here in the front. And our musicians will come for our invitation hymn. I don't know what it is now that God has spoken to you about today. Maybe you've never been saved. Maybe you have a head knowledge of Christ, but not a heart knowledge. And you've never really received Him, and your life's never been changed. If you were on trial to be a Christian, there would not be enough evidence to convict you. Maybe you've never been saved. In just a moment, Brother Tom's going to be here to invite you to come and show you how to be saved. Secondly, he's a great shepherd. Came to save you from those besetting sins, the things you're struggling with that you just can't seem to get over. And Christ was risen from the grave to save you from the power of that sin. And today you want to come and kneel in the altar. Let God begin to work and cause you to understand that He arose from the grave to give you power of that. And He wants you to be free from that. And today He wants to free you. Today free. Or maybe some of you are grieving over people who, your loved ones who've lost, who are saved, who are in heaven now, present with the Lord. And you've been through all of that. And maybe the Lord wants to encourage you and to cause you to realize to not focus on the grave and not focus on the death, but focus on where they are right now. Not to focus on their sickness, but to focus on the glory that they're experiencing right now. And you want to come, kneel on the altar, and let God speak to you. Shall we stand, please?